This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Viraj.
We have a millennial, what would you call it?
Elder millennial.
I think I'm like considered a zillennial or something. I don't know.
I think I'm sadly Generation X. I think.
Why?
Why?
Are you Gen Y?
I don't know. Figure it out for me.
Someone tweet in and tell us.
Yeah, I'm 21. Right, ladies and gents, we were asking at the top of the show, the question was essentially, you know, do we think right now that young people have the voice that they deserve? Or rather, should we give the kids a chance, I suppose, was what we were pointing at.
Yeah.
We asked you guys to feedback and give us some messages via WhatsApp, via Twitter, and via Instagram. We've had some messages already. We'll go to WhatsApp first. Arv, what do you have?
Yeah, so this comes from Robert Lim, who says that Open Office has been around in Malaysia since 1980s, which is true. To be fair, open offices were around since 1939. So this guy, Frank Wright, I think, designed the S.C. Johnson building. So he made open offices. What I meant was millennials.
The culture, I guess.
The culture, yeah. So millennials were so fed up with cubicles and having like borders in the office that they sort of brought open offices back in a big way. I think since the last 10 years, over the last 10 years. Yeah, yeah.
Chris, over to Twitter, please.
Right, we got a couple of things on Twitter. We've got this from Ali Guang Jian, who says, faith in young people to improve society. Young people need to improve themselves first. I'm a young person myself, which is totally fair enough, but I think you can do both at the same time, I reckon. And then we've got a name that I can't actually pronounce because I think it's Korean, but at Barry Bobkin, who says, if you don't have any, there will be no improvement. I often receive condescending statements just because I'm younger, and yet I've seen more young people who are more courteous and helpful in public and who are more open and willing to stand up for the quality of all.
I've seen that too, especially recently.
Represent.
Over to Instagram. This is from Fatima Ness, who says, but they need to relearn how to voice out instead of just tagging politicians on social media.
Well, to be fair, true.
It's a start, though. You know, at least it's showing, you know, an interest in politics and knowing that somebody is, you know, capable of helping them out. Any more? Anyone to highlight any more?
Yeah, I want to just read this one by Benjamin, who says that, you mean YOLO is not a new thing anymore? Next you're going to tell me that line dancing is out of style.
I'm doing line dancing this weekend. I don't know what you're talking about. If you want to keep commenting, let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Also on Twitter and Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Next story, how to remember everything. So think back to a recent event, where you were, what it looked like, how it made you feel. Perhaps you can recall what the room was like or who was with you. If you've got a really good memory, you might even remember what they were wearing. For this scientist, his name, let's just call him Neo. That's his name, actually his name. Accessing recollections of recent events is a little bit different and quite a lot more accurate. He can all but place himself back in the room for any event. For the past 9 months, he's used a variety of technology to record every aspect of his life, from what he ate for breakfast down to the shifting speed of his own heart rate over the course of a day. He's a researcher in the Fluid Interfaces team at MIT, where scientists are developing wearable tech they hope could make us better at regulating emotions, making decisions, or remembering the past. The project, called Nemo, from Mnemosyne, the Greek goddess of memory, may one day be able to help people suffering from memory loss. So before the team do that, they need data. That's why he's become his own research subject, collecting a trove of information, the faces he sees, the objects he interacts with, the patterns around him, for them to work with. Now he has a database of sorts of everything that's happened to him, or as he calls it, a collection of memories. He wears a contraption that allows him to record video paired with a device that monitors physiological changes from skin conductance, which reveals stress levels, to his body temperature. He initially told the magazine his girlfriend wasn't delighted about being filmed all the time, but she's learned to adapt, and now she says she's grateful for the record of their time together. So he sits back every night and rewatches everything that's happened. Now, part of the reason that he decided to do this is that both of his grandmothers developed Alzheimer's disease, which is obviously the most common cause of dementia. And looking after one of them inspired him to help develop products that don't just soothe Alzheimer's patients or prevent them from hurting themselves, but perhaps even bring them back to functionality. A virtual reality experience like this may help making memories instantly accessible externally for those who may otherwise be unable to recall them. What do we think about this?
It's a bit creepy to have like everything recorded. Something, because sometimes you want to just remember things the way you want to remember them.
Right.
Like, what do they call it? Rose tinted
glasses?
Yeah. It's because it's kind of, it's a little nicer that way, I think. Human memory and stuff. But also, this could work especially for if you're trying to track someone's behavior, especially someone who has, like what you said, like memory loss issues, someone who's having a hard time like recollecting what they've been through. It's like giving them or sort of helping them boost their own memory in a way. So maybe for medical reasons, but otherwise, I don't know. It sounds like Big Brother times 100.
Yeah, I've got kind of two minds about this. So the first one is just that if I was suffering from memory loss and someone showed me like a clip of what I'd done, or like a memory that I had forgotten, I would be a bit scared. Like, you know, that's something that I don't recall myself doing. So if it's about maybe stuff like, have I eaten today or whatever, then fine, you know. But if it's stuff about me interacting with people that I suddenly can't remember or something like that, that would really scare me. So I don't know about how they would apply that to people who are suffering from dementia and how they would manage to bridge the gap between confusion and fear to actually helping them recollect, you know, those memories instead of just watching them from above.
You made a good point there about whether or not you've eaten or not. For many patients of Alzheimer's and dementia, the two things that they often, you know, neglect is eating and drinking water. And these are the two things. Something like this, you know, monitoring those stress levels or whatever and the hormones would be very, very useful as a reminder. You know, if it could say, you know, gives you a little notification, by the way, it's time to drink a glass of water or, you know, eat a bite of food, I think is great.
Yeah.
But I can certainly see the benefits in this. I mean, my family has a history of dementia as well, you know. So reading something like this gives me a kind of hope that, okay, I don't want to be walking around every single day with a helmet strapped to my head, recording every moment of every single reaction, interaction that I've had throughout the day. But this is just the beginning of research that we know in a few years' time will be kind of economized, and there'll be a lot more to it, I'd imagine. And there'll be some way in my rose-tinted glasses, Arvin, in the future that perhaps I won't need to worry so much about forgetting things.
Which, and especially if they can build it into like the Google Glass.
But then, you know, then I kind of have the other kind of mind that I had was also, I know that there are plenty of memories I'd like to forget. Like, for example, you know, with this, with the scientist, he records a lot of his stuff with his girlfriend, but what if they break up one day?
Right.
I would love to forget all of those memories, for example, because they're very painful. So, or even stuff like you fall over at work or something and it's embarrassing. And you don't want to recollect that, right? So, you know, then it leads to kind of what are the memories that you will allow to have in your life and what memories that you will erase, essentially. And it becomes very Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
It does. I mean, and you'd be constantly having that conversation with yourself, wouldn't you? You'd fall over.
Yeah.
And then you could just go, okay, scrub. And it just erases that part of the memory.
You know,
but then that adds up later on that when you're trying to recall something, there's a piece missing.
Yeah.
You know, that might confuse you even.
So I kind of worry about that, you know. And one thing I do think, though, that this might be helpful for is for people who are kind of suffering from very like severe depression or anxiety, for them to realize their own habits and their own kind of cycles. That might be good, you know, to have this kind of not like kind of personal surveillance. So no one else is seeing it, just you, but to kind of notice what you're doing throughout your day. Like if you're sleeping a lot more or a lot less or that kind of thing. So I think that would be good for that. But in terms of like a functioning person, it's a bit...
All right. Okay. We are going to take a very short break. Do we have any more messages we want to highlight?
We just have this one tweet from Anik Anas who just says the red 100 emoji, faith at least.
100%
faith at least.
Good stuff.
Well done.
Keep the messages coming in, folks. We're going to take a short music break in a sec. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. If you don't want to use that messaging platform, you can get us on Twitter, like Anik just did, or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Music coming up from Eric Clapton with Motherless Children. And when we get back, how Christie's have sold their first AI portrait for a staggering amount of money. Don't go anywhere. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.